Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by Physiogrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, so longtime listeners may know that, I shouldn't say longtime, it's only been a month, but that I am a mobile physical therapist, cash-based, driving around the valley, and I just signed a lease to have space in a really good gym in my neighborhood. All the bells and whistles, really great space, great deal, right? We talked about it on a previous podcast about how to negotiate. A sublease would be technically what I have under me. Now, Brian started his business out of the back of a car and very quickly went to a location where he actually signed the lease. He signed the big boy lease, right?
Yes, with exactly.
The have to worry about the air conditioners and the roof and all that stuff. And now I've been in there for about a week or about a month. It is a gym, to give some context, it is a gym that I have been a member of and actively participating in at the morning classes for God, about a year and a half. Good relationship with the owner, know most people who walk in there. But it's been 1 month and I've gotten no patients from the gym. Ooh, I know, right? Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So that being said, I'm also really busy. It's Arizona springtime, so there hasn't been a lot of time for me to actually focus on building out the relationships in the gym. And that's what I want to talk about today, is that I think a lot of people will sign a lease in a gym or maybe join a gym with the goal of being the PT at the gym after. I've heard it anywhere from like, oh, you just got to be there for 3 months or 6 months or something like that. Well, Brian's done this. Brian's done the whole PT in a gym thing. I think it was CrossFit in the past.
Yep.
And then I'm doing the PT in a gym thing. Then Brian moved on, obviously, to bigger and better things with his six locations now. But I wanted to just talk about what to expect in the first few months of starting in a gym. Mm-hmm. Is it a good move? What are some things that we need to be doing? What are some expectations we need to be setting? And then hopefully, yeah, Brian, you can make me a bunch of money in the next year. Let's do it.
Yeah. I'm basically crushing this. No, I'm getting it.
So, yeah, right.
So I think the CrossFit side, first off, for those physical therapists like getting involved in gyms and whatnot, I think gyms are really good. But basically what happened was we were doing exactly what I was doing for a while. We were subleasing space and putting our, our physical therapy products or physical therapy services all in gyms. And then we realized was over time, we started to kind of like outgrow those gyms. We realized, well, hey, what if we just created the gym ourselves, right? That'd be awesome. And so that's what we did. We realized, hey, let's just create the gym. And now we've done that. And now we do it all, right? And learned kind of that process as well. When it comes to being a physical therapist in a gym, the first step is, like, people always ask me, like, how do you get CrossFit athletes? How do you get blah, blah? I'm like, you join the fucking gym. It's pretty easy. Like, you just go in there and you meet people. Like, it's so amazing that people are like, I learned about in college. I got to do the workshops and this. I was like, you know what happens? You go squat next to somebody. And then, like, I mean, also, I'm also, like, a pretty good athlete. So, like, in general, like, for me to go in a CrossFit gym, like, I don't know shit about dancing. So if I'm like, I want to work with dancers and be like, don't be that person either. Like, don't be like, know your lane. You know what I mean? Like, if I want to treat CrossFit athletes, but I'm, and like, listen, I'm not going to be politically correct here, but you're fat and overweight. Like, I got news for you, man. Like, you got to get your shit together. Like, it's kind of that simple. Like, for me, you got to walk the walk and look the role model. Now, I'm not saying that Owen's that. I'm saying, in essence, Owen has been in the gym with these people, which is a great first step, right? Mm-hmm. And so the aspect is, when you start doing well in the gym, or you're kind of walking around talking with people, it seems more organic. You don't want to look slimy, right? So the aspect of walking around is stuff, especially in CrossFit, it's such a volume-based sport, and I call it that because that's what it is. It's a sport. It's not like a gym membership. If people are like snatching and other stuff, and people are doing it, like, people are going to have overuse injuries and get hurt because that's just the nature of the sport. So typically speaking, like, I tell most people, if you're going to move into a gym, about 30% of your business will probably come from the gym. So first and foremost, you got to understand that's not enough to survive on. You got to go find other people. Now, here's the other aspect. If I go and I find those 70% of people and I get people getting coming into me into the gym, One, you got to make sure they are cool at the gym. They like the gym atmosphere because, like, obviously CrossFit is something. I know the gym that you're in looks sick, and the fact that, like, it's very clean, it looks great. It doesn't seem like it's a true CrossFit gym, even though I'm sure they do kind of cool classes. So by you just naturally bringing in more of your clients and people seeing you in the gym training people, it'll start conversations with their trainers. Oh, who's that guy? What's he do? How's he different than you? Well, are you okay with that? Like, you'll get the weird question too. Because you'll overhear it sometimes. Like, the person will be like, are you okay with him being in here? Yeah. Like, we're cool though. And he's a member here. He does the exact same, he does different stuff than we do. Oh, really? Because now you want that. And by the way, that's tip number one, is like, get patients in the door elsewhere so that, one, you can make sure you're like fulfilling the idea of your lease, number one. Number two is that you're now showing kind of what you can do, right? Now, number two, in that scenario, treat all the trainers for free, right? Or take care of the trainers, right, in some way. Be like, listen, like, you and I are not competitors. I want to refer people to you. If I bring people on the outside, I want to refer to you. Anybody you got, like, a big one for me is I'll say, hey, I don't like to shut people down from training, right? If they're doing that, me and you can communicate, and I can be like, hey, these are the things that we need to do, right? Like, it's no different than if I were in the clinic. I treated someone with back pain today. She's a little worried about seeing that therapist. I go, don't worry, I'm going to talk to him today. I'm going to tell him everything we're doing, and this is the goal for Friday. It's just great, awesome. You do the exact same thing for the gym. The physicians have pulled on us with physician-owned clinics. If you remember our last thing, it's like, hey, we're all under one roof. I actually will talk to your trainer, right? Like, we're all here. So that adds another layer of value. So that's how you get people from the gym to come work with you.
Well, and this is where knowing all that and having the benefit of knowing doing these podcasts, things like that, I kind of came in, I hit the ground running, right? So the first thing I did is I quote unquote interviewed every trainer. And it was really mostly just a how do I send you business? What do you like to work with? This is what I do. This is the easiest way to refer people to me, right? Just a very basic thing. And already they were like, whoa, okay, you're way ahead of the other guy, right? And then knowing that 30% rule, and knowing the fact that I was just a gym member all up until I signed the lease, right? So I knew that it would probably take a few months for anything to be like, hey, I'm a member of Third Space and I know you're the PT. Can you look at my shoulder? Like, I know that's something that you have to, it's not just as simple as you have a sign on the door, right? So what I did was, there's a happy hour going to that. Probably going to do a workshop. I'm not a big workshop guy as like a massive revenue stream thing. It can be done really well. Probably not my ideal way of doing it. But what I'm doing is I'm going to throw some advertising at it, try and get as much people into the gym as possible, and then have it be something where, okay, it's an event, right? Oh, who's doing an event here? Oh, who's doing that? Get my name out to more of the members, right? And then the third thing really is I've realized that my current clientele, the ones that I'm bringing into the gym, they've actually stayed longer because of the gym. They like it. It's nice. I have a nice table. We can use more stuff. There's more things to do, and they're like, oh, okay, well, normally these would be people at my old space that would be like, okay, cool. Thanks for the opinion. I'm done. Right. Maybe one session or two. Now they're like, dude, I'm coming here all the time. This is great. So, the final thing is massive social media positive. Right? Like you have all the equipment now. So it looks like you have this great gym and it legitimizes you versus being the mobile PT. 'Cause I love people who do mobile PT all the time, but it takes a while for people to be like, oh, you're just some guy. Right? Whereas if you have the gym equipment and you have like all this stuff, it's like, oh, okay, well, he's got a space now. I don't know what it is, but there's that little bit of almost like a legitimacy to be able to say to people like, oh, I have a location if you want to
Yeah,
come.
exactly.
So,
I mean, it.
and then we can talk about what I should be looking at going forward, but like those are the first, that's basically the first month in like a week.
Yeah, to me, I think one of the biggest pieces here is it's an aspect of, like, when you're marketing to the gym and you're trying to go to the gym, like organizing events is great. So I also think like talk to the gym owners and be like, hey, can I organize like a 5K or something like that? Or can I organize some sort of like PFT or something along those lines? What can I organize that I can kind of like be a part of, right? Because ultimately, if you're just taking pressure off the gym owner, they're going to be pumped about that, right? Or we would do like recovery zones. So like, hey, if somebody was like into, we were doing like something in the gym, like some sort of like, I don't know if we're doing some sort of event there. Like I remember things being like Toys for Tots. We were doing something around the holidays, and we would do like recovery zones that just added value to the gym. Well, now people know what we're doing, right? So there's a lot of cool stuff in that regard that you can do that's fun. So I think there's a lot of like that stuff that's great. So yeah, I think there's a lot of those potential aspects and avenues that you can do that. Again, the main thing is to realize that like 30% of 30%, if you have 30% of your caseload is coming from the gym, you're killing it. That's awesome. We
So
just
that was
talked
my
about
next question is
it.
what do I do and say, okay, what are my benchmarks, right? So the first month I almost say is a wash because you're just basically saying like, oh yeah, you're here now, right? So like, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, like what would you kind of want to see? Because I agree. If I could get in 12 months that 30% of my caseload is coming from their membership base. The membership base is about 80 to 85. So it's not the biggest, but of that 80 to 85, I think like maybe 85% of them come at least twice a week. So it's a highly engaged number. But I mean, what are some benchmarks that you would look for? Like, is it something where you'd say, okay, we'd hope you'd get a new referral a month, or I'm paying to, so for context, it's I'm paying $1,000 for the location. I previously was paying somewhere around like $200, right? At the previous one, because it was on a revenue share and I just didn't have that many people in the gym, right? Revenue share per patient. I just paid per patient that I saw there. So like, what would you look for? What would be some things where you say, okay, I'd like to see this out of that?
I mean, again, like the $1,000 of the rent shouldn't scare anybody. I mean, that's one of those scenarios where what you're doing is you're trying to leverage more people being in the gym. So I kind of like talked about on one of the episodes, like if I were to start a cash-based practice over again in this scenario, I would have a location and I would just do 40-minute sessions and I would charge, $150 probably for every 40-minute session, which is, pretty, I think, quote unquote, like some people will listen and be like, that's low. But the only way you can do that back to back to back to back is if you're in a location. So
But the
leveraging.
problem there, just so I can just cut you off there, I'm all mobile right now. So that'd be a massive freaking headache to drive back to Arcadia to drive or to the neighborhood, see somebody for 40 minutes for less money, and then drive back to Mrs. Smith in a retirement community. So I see your point, but the problem is I feel like I need to be almost a little bit busier just so I can have a block that I can say from like 8 to 10, I'm here. And then that way, Mr. and Mrs. Smith can only do like 10 to 2 or something.
All right, so this is how I started. I'm just going to tell you how it does it. So tell me about your typical like, and now this, by the way, is the pitfall to mobile clinics moving into spaces, right? Like this is the reality situation, right? It's not to say one is better than the other or change anything, but whether if you want to be an insurance-based clinic and you start insurance-based, you're not going to run into this problem that Owen's talking about. If you're going to treat in a location and you start in a location, you're not going to run into this problem that Owen is. If you're treating out of your car and then you stay in your car, or then you know what I mean, you're not going to have any of that problem. But if as soon as you go to transition to one of these other models, what Owen's talking about is what happens, because now you're like, now there's this feeling of I'm wasting money. I'm wasting $800 because I really wouldn't see many people there. Right. So the first thing I would tell Owen is, yeah, you got to drive people into your business. Right. And what you can do is, again, depending on where you are around, this is why raising prices doesn't make sense for everybody at times, because you've raised your prices and now you're running all over all the like a huge area and you're like, I want to centralize everybody. I got news for you. You can't. Right. Now, what you need to do is you need to market within 5 to 7 miles like crazy of that location. Right. And you need to build up a certain amount of people that can see you at that location. And yeah, you got a couple of choices. Either you're driving all over Phoenix and driving back to this location, or you're creating set hours. One of the things I always did at the gym, always like say there's classes. So again, I started in the CrossFit world. So 5 a.m., 6 a.m. classes. We also had 8:30 and 9:30 a.m. classes. So for the most part, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m. were pretty typical times that I would treat in the gym, right? And then what I would do is I would see patients outside of there after, between 9:30 and 10, because most of the people that are like working people, active people in the gym, that's when the gym's busy. During the middle of the day, so like from like 9:30, 10 o'clock till like 3, 4 o'clock, the gym's not that busy anymore. That's when I'm going out doing my home visits. Now, afterwards, between 4 to 8 p.m., 9 p.m., depending on the gym, that's when the gym's busy again. That's when I'm back on the back in, right? So again, a lot of it becomes now what's happening is your mobile businesses during the day is conflicting with the in-person, right? Think about our clinics. I'm sure all the clinics you've worked out are the same way. We usually have a morning shift and we have an afternoon shift. So I have a lot of people, PTs that come in at 7 a.m. We have people that'll stay as late as 8 o'clock at night. It's no different on the gym side. So that's kind of the reality around a location. 9 to 5 doesn't necessarily exist. So to me, it's like pick your and maybe you're picking a combination. Maybe you're doing 3 days a week early and 2 days a week late. Maybe you're doing, a couple extra days late, maybe you're doing early. It depends on your life, right? Depends on what you want to do.
Well, and I think your point from that you kind of keep hitting on is raise your prices for mobile, keep the gym the same,
Yes, 100%.
right? So that way you have maybe 20% of your caseload who will say, like, say we have, 100% of our caseload, I raise the price to 250 and then 175 in the gym, right? So I'm 175 everywhere now, right? And I say, okay, if I raise it to 250, there is going to be probably 10 to 20% of people that the cost is too much and the drive is too much. I will lose those people, right? And I have to be okay with that. Now there will be people that say, okay, drive's not that bad. And I don't want to pay $75 extra just to not drive 10 minutes. I'll see you at the gym, right?
Hundred
And
percent.
those are the people that are going to be building up the gym business. And of course, there's going to be the people who are happy to pay an extra $75 for me to drive to their gated community in Scottsdale, right? And that's great because by adding 75 bucks to that, I have basically made it way more convenient, or sorry, way more like profitable. And those people tend to be the ones who either own the business, so they can be like, yeah, I'll see you at 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. I'm not going to make you be here at 8, right? They tend to be the retirees who say, I don't want you here before 10:30, right?
Exactly.
So by I think that's my big play is that when people start when it stops being the surface of the sun here and people start coming back into town in like, October, I think I'm going to do that split rate and make it. That I think is going to push people into the gym.
That's what it does. You have to incentivize people to go into the gym, right? And that's what you're doing. And again, like the math on that for Owen. So let's like walk through some quick math. So say he loses 10 to 20% of people. Let's keep it the worst. He loses 20% of people. So 20% of people, let's do the math easy. Let's say he's seeing 20 patients, right? Which, again, for those of you who've listened to this, I tell people you got to be like kind of busy out of your eyeballs before you really start raising. So let's even go to 25, just because that would be the math. So if I lose 25, let's call it 30% of patients. Let's call it so more than 20%. So times 20% would be 5 patients. So now he's at 20 patients. So 25 patients a week at 175, he's at 4375, right? So at 20 patients, how many do you think would start coming to the gym, Owen, if you were to make a
Out
guess
of
out of that?
20, well, already I already have maybe three of those patients in the gym.
Got it.
Because they were locals anyway. And then
There you go.
they'd probably be maybe like three others that
Got
are
it.
close enough and wouldn't want to pay for the convenience of home
Nice.
care.
And are they coming twice a week? Or they come once a week?
No, but if for the sake of math, yes, right?
Yeah.
Like it's 20 visits. If we're saying 20 visits,
Yeah.
three or four of those visits would be people who would be in the local community who I go to their home that would just shove to the gym.
So if you follow that's 7 visits, right, at 175. So 70 at 175, that means 13 are going to be at the new rate, which is 250, right, which is 3250. So 3250, then 175 plus 3250.
This is great podcast radio,
I
by
know, I know. So again,
the
now you're at
way.
4475. So what did we say before? So 4475. So at 175, the math is very similar. My point being here is, if we think about that, yeah. In fact, actually, it's what we had for the 25 was 4375. So you're falling ahead. He loses. This is my point. You lose 20 to 25% of your caseload. You actually still make more money. That's how. That's another way to look at raising prices and how to do it. So I think Owen's numbers are correct on the 250, because now what happens is, now say he loses 30. Yes, he's in the hole temporarily, but he's not smashed, right? And what it does is, now the other aspect of that is, he's going to market like crazy to get people into the gym. That's what he's going to do. So you're going to keep your at-home clients, and you're not going to not take at-home clients. But what you're going to do is, you're going to vastly make sure that you're increasing your in-gym clients. That's going to be essential. So the again, to Owen's point about the podcast, I wanted to kind of throw the numbers out there while I did it. But the reality, in most cases, when you do a price increase like this, it sounds scary, especially when you're like, well, I'm going to do 175 in the gym and then 250, and a certain amount of people are going to come in. The reality of the situation is, with some very careful conversations, what should happen is, actually, you make more money and you're going to centralize more people into the gym. And that's the goal. That's the goal. You can do it. That's how it works.
And that's it. And I'm willing to go through that. What's probably going to be 6 months of just like, wait, what the hell?
It's scary.
And I'm willing to go through that because I know that the ideal situation is everyone's in that damn gym, right? And I have 8 visits where I don't have to drive anywhere, and they're all paying $175 to $200, right? I mean, that's great. That's $1,600 a day.
Yeah,
You know.
exactly. So that's my
So,
point. And that's how
you
you do it. So you
know.
asked me at the beginning of this kind of rant, how do I justify the $1,000 a month right there? Right? Because now you're like, wait a minute, now I'm making way more money at the gym and my life is better. That's how you justify it.
And
Again,
that's it.
and the key is not to over-leverage yourself on a lease, which Owen didn't do. $1,000 is beautiful, makes it super easy, right? And that's kind of the idea behind it. So
Cool. All
everybody
right.
wins there
So
too. So,
when we revisit this in a year, I'll be driving a Maserati. Thank
well,
you,
no,
Brian.
you don't want to do that either. I would tell you to put it in much a depreciating asset that's a car, as I also think kind of silly, but nevertheless, it's that's just my take on it. So,
That's my joke, is my car is now not a depreciating asset because I use it for making money.
that's
But
true. I like that.
then I go to sell it and it's like a quarter of what I paid for it, and it's like, ah, damn it.
No, I totally
All
agree.
right. I know.
All right, if you
All right,
want
my
help
friend.
like this, one-on-one in our facilities, or what, not even our facility, what other fuck we is physio-growth.com. We'll mentor you, we'll make you money so you can drive Maseratis too, like Owen.
It's
Cool, I like
virtual. We're not going to make you drive to Phoenix
exactly. No,
or
I don't know what's talking about
Connecticut.
facilities. I like had like a brain fart. I've had like a brain had a stroke for a second and think you're coming to Darien. No, you're good. Cool.
I mean, to be fair, it's probably going to be much nicer in Darien than it's going to be here in the next few months. I may just come
So
up there just
cold.
to hang out.
Still cold here. Yeah, still colder in the Northeast, but it's good. It's
Oh,
all
dude.
good.
Well,
So,
everyone's freaking out. It's 91 right now with us, so.
delightful.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. All right,
All right,
buddy.
man. See ya.
Have a good one. See ya.